Prophet said, raise your children with three qualities. Prophet said, raise your children with three qualities. Love of your prophet, love of his family, and reading the Quran.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyid al-Mursaleen. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. The beloved Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم has stated, anyone who recites once درود upon me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends 10 mercies upon him. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Dear viewers of Madni channel, welcome in a very wonderful and brand new silsila of Madni channel. It is basically about our children. Our children are our future. They are our treasure. They are a source of happiness for us. You know, we are working at workplace entire day and now we return to our homes, and as soon we look upon the faces of our children, our whole tiredness goes away. I hope this silsila is going to be very interesting and very informative for you. If you ask me what are the topics which we are going to cover in this series, so they are actually medical topics mixed with social issues. And for this discussion, we have on our panel Dr. Zirak Saab, who is expert of psychiatry, and mashallah, as he is UK based, so I hope he is well aware of all the issues which we face regarding our children. So let's start. Dr. Saab, in this age and time where technology is very advanced and a lot of things are happening around us, so safety of children has really become a sort of challenging for the parents. Sometimes burns, scolds, and many other things as well. So I just want to ask you, what is your opinion in this regard?
First of all, Jazakallah Khair, thank you very much for inviting me. Children, as you very well defined, that they are our future, they are our treasure. But they are prone to risks. And if the parents are negligent or lazy in terms of looking after children, then this can lead to lots of different accidents in childhood. And these accidents can actually then cause long-term effects. Whether it is a physical impact of a burn or something, some other injury, whether it is a psychological impact for the rest of their life. So children are very delicate and they require constant supervision, both from giving them the training about social aspects of their life, but at the same time the physical aspects of their life as well. When it comes to obviously different types of risks, burns is a major risk that is present to the children. We are talking mainly about very young children. When it comes to burns, there are a number of different types through which children can actually be damaged. One is actually direct fire. Cheek. So, for example, a child puts a hand into the flame. Cheek. The other type of burns they can experience is through hot fluids. So, for example, hot water from the kettle. The kettle was boiling, it spills on the child and it actually scalds the skin. And also, there are hot surfaces like radiators or fire heaters. All these types of things can cause burns in children if the parents are not careful. If we look at, for example, open flames, especially in the kitchen, or fire heaters where there is an open flame, children have a tendency, little children, when they are crawling or they are beginning to walk. For children, anything that is colorful is attractive.
Gee.
So they will see this flame and they will try to go to the flame and try to touch it. Because for children, their life experiences at this stage are based on touch.
ٹھیک ہے.
سو ٹچ اور ٹیسٹ, سو اینی تھنگ اے چائلڈ سیز دیٹ از کلر فل اور اٹریکٹیو دے ول ٹرائی ٹو ٹچ اٹ, اینڈ دا نیکسٹ تھنگ دے ول ٹرائی ٹو ڈو اٹ, اف اٹ از اے سالڈ آئٹم دے ول ٹرائی ٹو پٹ اٹ ان دا ماؤتھ. So they will look at the flame and they will try to go and touch the flame. So this is where the parents have to take actually number of different precautions, protective measures to make sure that when there is an open flame, their children are kept away. And if, for example, mother is cooking in the kitchen, and sometime little children can actually come into the kitchen, whether crawling or walking. So the mothers have to be very careful in the kitchen. First of all, try if the children don't come into the kitchen. If that is not possible and they do come into the kitchen, then they are restrained in one way or another. Either make them sit in the child seat or put them in a walker, whichever is appropriate, so that you can monitor them and keep them away from the open naked flame. That is the first precaution that you can take. Obviously, the other thing is, when you are boiling a kettle to make the tea, and very commonly what happens is the young child comes running the moment you are actually putting the hot liquid into your cup to make a tea, and the child bumps into mother or a father, and this obviously makes the fluid spill, and either it falls onto the parent or onto the child. So take extra care, be aware of these risks when you are in that situation, so that you take a note. And in these days, you know, the risks are increased, that because we are trying to do two things at one time. So for example, parents may be using the mobile phone, talking on the mobile phone or sending a text message or chatting.
Oh, it is very
and
common.
At the same time, with the other hand, trying to pour the hot fluid, and clearly the parents are distracted.
Gee.
Now when you are distracted, then your child will be coming towards you, you will not be aware of it. So try to concentrate, and just, it is only a matter of seconds. And this carelessness of a second can actually make a huge impact on the child and yourself as well.
Mm-hmm.
And similarly, hot surfaces. Again, in UK and Europe, we've got central heating system to keep the houses warm. Obviously, winter months are very cold and fairly long compared to the Asian or Indian subcontinent. So we've got these you know, radiators. They can be quite hot. So parents need to teach their children as per their age and ability and understanding how to avoid these hot surfaces. One other thing, obviously in our taps, whether it is in the kitchen or the toilet, there is hot water and cold water. The temperature of the hot water can be set by adjusting the level of heatness in the boiler. And usually what happens is the parents try to keep the settings at the maximum.
Cheap.
Which means the hot water that is coming can be very hot, boiling hot.
Cheap.
And that can actually scald. As an adult, obviously we can make a judgment, but if the child ends up opening a tap and the water is very hot, it can burn them. So one other precaution is the adjusting the temperature both of the water and the central radiator system to sort of lower settings, so that if in case the child does open the tap or the child does end up touching the radiator, it is actually not going to burn them.
Okay, so the essence is that parents, they are required to take extra care in the matter of children. Well, Dr. Saab, if in case this thing happens now, okay, now child is crying, he is in pain. So now what should be the first aid from the people who are around him or her?
That's a very important question. Obviously, if the child burns themselves, whether it is through naked flame, whether it is through hot fluids or hot surfaces, depending upon the age of the child, most of them are going to cry. Now, the first thing the parents need to do is, they first of all need to calm themselves down.
Thick.
Because if the parent gets nervous, which is actually common and natural.
See.
However, the mothers especially, because they are with the children most of the time, whether it is the mother or the father who is with the child, they need to first of all stay calm.
See.
Why stay calm? Because if you become anxious, the child, not because of the pain, but because when the child is actually observing the parent, when the child looks at the parent that they are anxious, they will start crying more. Now, when the child starts crying more and more, it is going to affect the parent themselves, and they are going to get more and more nervous. So the first and foremost important thing for the parent is to stay calm. The next thing that you need to do is that whichever body part is burnt, for example, let's take the example of the hand. Now, the first thing that you need to do is you need to put that hand or the body part under the water. So, for example, make the cold water tap run. Now, obviously, it is very important to stay calm, because if you are nervous, you may end up opening the hot water tap, and you don't want to do that. And obviously, open the cold water tap and let the water run on that body part for how long? For 10 minutes, up to 10 minutes, or when the child stops crying. Now, usually there is a misconception that you will cause more damage if you actually put the hand under the water, burnt body part under the water. Now, let me explain that very briefly. It is heat that is causing the damage to the body. And the longer you don't cool it, the more damage it will do. So, to prevent the effect of the heat, you actually cool it down with the water. And what happens is, when we burn any body part, the natural response of the body is, the brain senses that the temperature has risen in that area. It will actually try to send more water to cool it down, which is why we get blisters. Now, whether you get blisters or not, whether the skin is broken or not, what you need to do is you need to help the body with that process and put it under water so that it cools down. It will reduce the pain, it will also speed up the healing process, and it will reduce the further damage. So put it under water for up to 10 minutes, or if the child stops crying because the pain has got less. This is all that needs to be done, and then take the child to the hospital for further treatment. And if the skin is broken and it's a large part, then you can UK and Europe, there is a kitchen film called cling film. You can wrap it around just to keep it protected from the weather elements. If it's a small area, it's best not to put any dressings unless you got a first aid kit at home and it has got a burns dressing. Then you can put it on. But if you don't have a burns dressing at home, do not put any ointments, and all you can do is cover it up with a cling film. Usually what happens is that the parents may try to end up doing all sorts of things by trying to put ointments, or different people may suggest different things that do this and do that. Advice from a first aid point of view is, put it under water for up to 10 minutes or when the child stops crying, because the pain has got less. Do not put any ointments, wrap it with cling film if possible, and then take them to hospital for further treatment.
Dr. Saab, I think there is another topic which must be given due attention, and that is the risk of falling. Because what I have observed, that lot of children while playing, either they hit against something or they fall from something which is high from the ground. So in that case, they sometimes get very severe injury. So what is your experience in these kind of situations?
Falls is another obviously element of risk, and children, by nature, they are very mobile. They are running around, and they can obviously, as you described, fall. And this can cause either head injuries, this can also cause obviously fractures in the arms or legs, depending upon how high the fall was. Now, commonly, or if I were to sort of categorize it, the children can fall either when they're climbing the stairs. Usually small children when they are learning to climb. And then when the children are growing in a hurry, they are either going up or coming down. Most importantly, when they are coming down in a hurry, they can fall down from the stairs. Children can also fall down from furnitures, because they are climbing on the sofas, they are climbing on the chairs, they may be climbing on the table, which is not stable for them to support their body, and they want to sort of like reach an item that is on top, and they may either climb on the worktop surfaces and so forth, and they can actually fall from the furniture as well. Sometimes children can also climb on fences fence walls, and they can fall from that as well. So these are the common sort of falls risk for children, which the parents need to be mindful of.
So in this case, especially focusing upon falls, what are the preventions, what are the precautionary measures which parents always should take to prevent these kind of situations?
Now, this is obviously a very difficult balance for parents to maintain. They want the children to be to learn these things as well, but at the same time learn in a safe manner. So you can't really expect parents to be with the child all the time and under observation all the time. So what the parents need to do is, for example, let's take the stairs example. So small children, in UK and Europe, we've got stairs inside the homes. So inside the home, there's ground floor, first floor, second floor, and there are stairs going in, your personal private stairs that you're using. So you can teach a young child, whether usually from 6 months onwards, when the child starts crawling, they start climbing the stairs. So very early on, parents can actually teach their 6 month or 7 month old child who is crawling how to climb the stairs. You may be wondering that how that is possible. Children actually copy the behavior of their parents. So parents can get on their knees and hands like a crawling child and try to sort of climb the stairs one by one. Then the child will try to copy, and you help them by putting their hand. So initially, let them crawl. It gives them confidence. Be with them. They may slide down, and then you are actually there in front of them, and you will support them and minimize if there is going to be a fall. So this will help the child climb up. It will give the child confidence, and very soon the child will learn how to climb in a safe manner. Now the next step comes obviously when they want to come down, because that's another skill that the child needs to be taught. So the parents again need to demonstrate this. Now if the child is climbing the stairs up, obviously his hands are in front and his knees are at the back and he's going up. In the same manner, the child needs to come down. So the parents can then do the reverse procedure in front of the child. And that's what the child will try to follow.
And this way...
In sort of a few days or few weeks, your child will actually learn the safe method of climbing the stairs and then how to come down the stairs. Now still there will be accidents. I'm not saying that, this is completely a safe method. This was the stairs bit. Now the furniture one, obviously the children are going to be, mischievous, and they'll jumping. Be running around and jumping, and sometimes children sort of use the sofas as trampolines and so forth. And you have to maintain a balance, when to discipline the children, when not to. But you have to judge, make a judgment in that situation. You can tell them that, you're going to fall. And if you fall, it will hurt you. They may or may not listen. But again, it is a bit of a difficult balance to maintain. I don't think I can give a particular advice, because children need to have that physical exercise element inside the home as well. Because in UK and Europe, during the winter weathers, the children are mostly confined in their own homes. And these are the methods that they use to keep them physically active. But again, it depends on the sort of like, usually the floors are carpeted. So if they fall, it is protected. Now, important thing is when the child is outside in the garden, or whether it is front garden or back garden, and they are trying to climb the fences. Now, that can be, quite dangerous and damaging if the child falls from the fence. And I think this is where the parents can actually stop the child, that No, you do not need to climb the fence because it is dangerous. You will fall down and it will hurt you. The parents can then use some images of children falling down the fences, or they may be able to show the child a video, or there may be a family experience, someone's child falling down from the fence and it causing them injury. Use these examples to tell the child that this is what you can actually, what can happen. And then let the child obviously make their own decision. Obviously, we are here talking about someone who has a bit of understanding. A child who is 4 years of age or 5 years of age, they may be able to have that understanding. So depending upon the intellectual ability and understanding of the child, you will try to use all these, whether showing the images or showing the video of a child falling and then what injuries it can lead to, and you know, showing someone, a child who's got a disability as a result of the fall they've had, can actually prevent these children from you know, climbing on fences and the walls.
Just, Dr. Saab, related to this thing, I have observed in a lot of cases that when a child, you know, falls down, so now the whole home is in panic. Everyone is shouting at each other and crying, and now, you know, they are looking for the responsible, who is the responsible person. Now the child is crying. So again, in this situation, I think instead of panic, there is need of something else. So what is that thing?
So basically, again, I mean, very important point, and I think parents can actually start this battle of blame game. And because what happens is when the child is hurt, you know, mother and the father, the parents, they will feel angry that why has this happened, and they want to get the anger out. However, this is not the time to get the anger out. This is not the time to do the blame game. What you need to do is deal with the situation that is in front of you. Once obviously you've dealt with the situation, and then later on, when everything's calmed down, when the child's recovered, you sit down as a family together, reflect on the situation, that what went wrong. And try to actually learn from the mistake rather than doing the blame. Okay, we won't blame anyone. This is where, you know, something went wrong, and as a family together, we'll make sure that it doesn't go wrong. Now, obviously, this brings me to the point from first aid point of view. If the child has fallen down, what should you do? Now, this is a very detailed area. It depends on the age of the child, whether it is, you know, how old is the child, because small babies can topple over, and obviously the bit older children can actually fall down. It also depends on the height of the fall as well and what body part has been injured. Most important thing is obviously, you know, trying to address what is at hand. They may be bleeding, they may be head injury, they may be fracture, whatever it is. The best thing is obviously for one of the parents to get first aid training. Inshallah Azawajal, Madani channel will be bringing first aid clips, what to do in these situations, and they may be able to benefit from these videos as well. But if the parents can actually get first aid training, that is most effective way. It may cost them a day or two and a bit of money, but that will actually be worthwhile investment.
Moving to the other topic, and which is very common, what I have observed, that it is the general tendency of the children that whatever they have in their hands, they try to put it in their mouth. So they end up choking. So Dr. Saab, what is your experience regarding the choking? What are the dangerous things which a child can face if there is a sort of choking?
First of all, from learning point of view, as human beings, we use our five senses to learn. So, visual, auditory, which is hearing through the ears. And then we've got taste. And we've got touch. And fifth sense is the smell. Now, obviously, the children, they are seeing things and they're hearing things. And they may be obviously taking in the scent from their environment. The two senses that are left is touching and tasting. So whatever is around in the environment, so little children, when they start crawling, is when they will actually, the world expands for them. So they will try to access everything. That is, initially if they were not crawling, what is within the reach. But now everything comes in their reach when they are crawling. So they will go and take everything in their hands, feel it, and then if they decide to think that it is worth putting in the mouth, they will try to put it in the mouth
as well.
And it can be all sorts of weird and wonderful things that children can put in the mouth. And clearly, parents are not at fault, because it is impossible to observe a child all the time. As I previously mentioned, that the taste and the touch are another two sort of sensory inputs that a child tries to use to explore the world around them and to learn from the world around them. Now, clearly, these could be coins, these could be toys, these could be edible items, these could be non-edible items, and usually these are small items. So something that is round and fluffy can go in the mouth. Sometimes there are these ballpoint pens, and the top the child will remove and put it in the mouth. So clearly it's a long list, and the parents will generally know that what sort of things children can actually put in their mouth. Now what happens is, the moment, sometimes if it's a round thing, then it will go in without getting obstructed. The child will not choke, and what happens is that you will realize that he's eaten. Now then parents get panicky. Clearly, in this case, take them to the doctor, get the proper medical advice. I'm not going to obviously say that what will happen to it, but most important thing is get the advice from the doctor. If something has gone in and it was round, and the child is not in distress, the child's not choking, the child's okay, but you still need to get the medical advice. Now, the choking comes when something gets stuck. Now, usually what happens is that these things can block the airways, the breathing tube. So the child may not be able to breathe, and the child is coughing in distress as well. Now, this is very anxious situation for parents, and parents can sometimes actually freeze because they get so nervous, and this is it's a very fear provoking situation, and it is a serious as well, because if whatever is blocking and it doesn't actually get out, then within minutes the child could actually die.
Dr. Sam, as you yourself have said, that it is a very dangerous situation, especially if we imagine blocking the airways, child is unable to breathe. So in this situation, parents, they get, you know, very in big panic. Now my question is, why should we reach to that situation? There must be some preventive measures if we take. I hope, inshallah, our children will be saved. So what are those measures?
Well, again, I mean, from prevention point of view, again, the parents have to be mindful that they follow good housekeeping rules when you have children. Things, little things, or they're not lying around. Toys, little toys, they are stored properly. So the child doesn't have access to them unless the parent brings the toys to the child and the both of them are playing together. So these are, you know, some important precautions that parents can take. And secondly, obviously, observation of the child. If you've given something to the child or something lying around, then obviously you have to actually observe the child and try not to be distracted by other things like TV or mobile phone or other things that you may have to do. So this is the prevention. However, even with best preventative measures, the child may still end up putting something in the mouth which results in choking. From first aid point of view, how to deal with choking is a very sort of like important matter. I'd like parents to watch our first aid clip on choking that Madni Channel Majlis has created. And in this clip, follow the advice that is being given. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. In this clip, we will try to learn how to give first aid to someone who is choking. This indeed is a very frightening experiencing for anyone
who has to deal with a victim of choking. Generally speaking, it happens with children. And today we've got with us Zain Ali, a Madni Munna, who we would like to demonstrate upon that if someone is choking, how to give them first aid.
May Allah bless and keep you safe.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Zain Ali, how are you?
We are fine.
Thank you. Jazakallah khair. Children can swallow all sorts of things which can cause them to choke. So when someone is choking, they will usually have their hand on their throat and they will be coughing to try to get whatever is in their throat out. The best thing is for them to keep coughing. Ask them, keep coughing. Zain Ali, keep coughing. Now, if you realize that the patient is not able to cough it out and they're getting tired, then what you need to do is deliver what we call as back blows, up to 5 back blows. Now, I would like to demonstrate how to deliver effective blows so that it helps whatever is in the throat to come out. For back blows, it is very important that you get the patient in the right position and you keep reassuring them. Zain Ali, you're going to be fine. I need to help you to get this out. Okay? So I will actually try to hit you at the back. Okay? So if you turn around, what we need to do is we need to get the patient in that position, support them with your right hand so that they don't fall, and you need to get your leg in front as well, that just in case if they fall, then you are in a stable position to hold them. And the back blows are delivered between the shoulder blades and in this motion, like a bow. Don't do just this, because this is not the effective way of giving back blows. So what you need to do is with reasonable force, obviously depending upon the size of the patient, with reasonable force, come in this manner and hit and then move forward. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Up to 5 blows. If whatever is stuck in the throat comes out, you stop. Now, if the 5 back blows are not effective, then we need to deliver abdominal thrust. For that, you need to get the patient standing up. Zain, if you could stand up and just look that way, you get behind the patient and your face should be on their shoulder. And what you need to do is, you need to make a fist and you need to place that fist between the belly button and the bone, and in between that area. So that's the bone up there, that's the belly button. Put the hand fist there, then the other hand on top of it. You need to fully support your own body as well. And then what you need to do is, the way you need to deliver abdominal thrust is that you first push your fist in into the abdomen and then pull it up. So in and up, in and up with a reasonable force for up to 5 times. And if what is stuck in the throat comes out, you stop. If it does not, after 5 abdominal thrusts, you then repeat the cycle again. You need to deliver up to 5 back blows.
May Allah bless and keep you safe. Bless and keep you safe.
And then again, abdominal thrust, and hopefully it will come out. If after one cycle of 5 back blows and 5 abdominal thrusts, the stuck item does not come out, then someone needs to call the ambulance. And until the ambulance arrives, you need to carry on with this cycle of up to 5 back blows and up to 5 abdominal thrusts. Now, very important information about delivering abdominal thrusts. When we do deliver abdominal thrusts, there is a risk of injury to the internal organs inside the abdomen. So what you need to actually do is, you need to tell the patient that once they have recovered from the choking episode, they need to seek appropriate medical help. And remember that a child less than 1 year of age, you are not going to deliver abdominal thrusts. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Dear viewers, you have watched the clip in which Dr. Saab was, I would say, teaching you the first aid measures, and especially in the matter of choking. It's all about our silsila, and I hope it was very informative for you. In case, Allah forbid, if we are in this situation, so inshallah, we will use that information in order to save our children. We are going to come with the next episode, and inshallah, in next silsila, we are going to come with some other very informative topics like chemical poisoning and electricity hazards and many other things as well. I hope you will be waiting for us. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Prophet said, raise your children with three qualities. Prophet said, raise your children with three qualities. Love of your Prophet, love of his family.